T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's Rick Hahn, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox. And you had asked the question after the Yasmani Grandal sighting, the frightening question, what if that's it?
Yeah, that was...
My response was, it can't be.
It really can't be.
It won't be.
Speaking of campy, he was... That's also... Rick Camp sometimes serves as the dark angel on the shoulder for us, and it's a good thing. Because otherwise, you know, we go through an entire week discounting the Miami Dolphins and their right. possible upset of the Chicago Bears. We go through an entire Jim Boylan press conference and don't think about what really the higher-ups have done about this. He's a very serviceable dark angel sitting atop
your shoulder. Right.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. And that's... his idea, this cannot be it. It sucks that the White Sox, and I'm just going to say it this way, and then you can parse through this, because I know you want to, and I know we should. It sucks that the White Sox offered top dollar, and that wasn't enough to get a top starting pitcher in the free agent market. That sucks. You had to be there with your offer. It needed to be guaranteed money. Sounds like it was. They did what they had to do in this particular instance. Go ahead.
It's the idea of feeling, of the neediness, the oversensitivity to what is said publicly, the concern, apparent concern with the famed White Sox Twitter trolls out there, the those who prefer to curse the darkness rather than light a candle.
Yes,
the supposed haters that, you know, where Rick Hahn has talked about those rooting for a rebuild to fail. It's the concern, the baseless, pointless waste of energy in the concern of what they think that cause you. And I don't know whether it's Rick or Kenny or both or any of the PR minions. When they immediately have to tell everyone in the national media that they offered more money than the Phillies did.
Okay.
First of all, it doesn't matter. And second of all, who tells you that makes you look better? All that says is how much he really doesn't want to be on the White Sox.
I think you would argue that no, it told you how much he wanted to be on the Phillies, not how much he didn't want to be on the White Sox. And I also think that, I understand a segment of your fandom, you know, as you call it, you know, cursing the darkness instead of lighting a candle, and that can be very frustrating. But they stepped in it last year with Manny Machado.
Well,
they did.
They stepped in it with their spin afterward too. It isn't
just that's what I'm talking about. That's the only thing I'm talking about here. You came at Manny Machado with a really big offer, except it was structured in a way that nobody else was structuring their contracts. That sucks. That's a miscalculation.
$50 million less guaranteed.
You missed out on a generational player, and I mean that in terms of his talent and also his availability in free agency at age 26. You missed out on that guy because you were a little bit creative. And other teams just said, here's your cash. We'd love for you to wear our uniform. That sort of thing was held against them the entire season and will still be held against them, even in moments where Ken Rosenthal is of The Athletic and of MLB Network is first to report that the money was more, because the comments afterward, the questions afterward, the fairly questioned response is, was it guaranteed money?
Well, there's
that
also
has to be asked.
I had a different question. Why wasn't it enough more? Why wasn't it more enough? Here's the thing. Even though we know his wife has got her in-laws are in New Jersey and Philadelphia is right at the bottom of New Jersey.
Yeah.
There's always a number. Everything is worth something. There's always a number. There is a number. at which Zach Wheeler and his fiance would have had a conversation, say, yeah, I know you love your parents, everything, but this is a lot more money.
For $9 million more dollars, right. I'll buy you new parents.
Right. Exactly. We can rent parents for you,
it's
here
fine.
In
you
Chicago.
We get a surrogate.
Or we can fly them in. Or we can get a condo for them and they can be here often. Whatever there's always a number.
Who's with Zach Wheeler in the fold, who's closer to winning a division? The White Sox or the Phillies?
Ooh. This division, that division. Relative to the division.
That division.
Yeah. That's a nasty division.
That's brutal.
So I'd say that would probably be my determining factor, would be somebody could just float up and win the White Sox division.
I think that's probably true. What team's closer to actually doing making a playoff, though?
Phillies.
Because, it's the Phillies. It's
Phillies, yeah.
So I think there's two things now that you cannot discount when a player goes to look in free agency. That proximity matters in both, actual location and location to a winning ball club. How close that team really is to winning.
There's a note from Rudy here. He says, as funny as Tanny's 5 o'clock hour was, I was dying laughing at the number of people Ken Williams leaked out info to yesterday. I feel like I got a random text saying, Rudy, Kenny, I don't know you, but I'm telling you we offered more money than Philly. So they have a really odd sense of what good PR is. Don't tell players you offered more money but were shut down. Just don't.
I don't know. I don't mind the overcorrection. I don't. You can call me jaded or snowed or whatever. I really don't mind the overcorrection. Truth be told, I think in terms of managing free agency, I think missing the way they did on Manny Machado is worse than saying we had the money out there for Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, part of me feels genuinely bad for him.
I do.
It's just this, of course, it's the White Sox that even when they do try to offer more, they're like, yeah, no.
So the next questions then are, can you get down on Gerrit Cole?
Sure, why not?
Can you get in on Steven Strasburg?
Enough money, yes.
What are the rest of your free agent pitchers? What do the rest of them look like? They're not as good as Zach Wheeler. I mean, Cole and Strasburg obviously are, but they're the top guys, and they're going to wait a good long time, and they're going to have the Yankees bidding for them, and they've got all sorts of preferences on what coast they want to play for. Strasburg's from the West Coast. Cole is too. They both, I'm sure, like to go out there, and those teams, there's a couple of those ball clubs that have a bunch of money to throw around. I don't know if... I mean, does Madison Bumgarner for a couple of years get you excited?
Kind of.
Yeah, I think it does. I think Hyunjin Ryu probably gets you a little tickled. I don't mind Dallas Keuchel on something like a 2 or 3 year deal. He pitched a lot better at the end of the year for the Braves than he did in the first 6 weeks. Michael Pineda and Tanner Roark and Wade Miley are all kind of, the middling guys that needed to be after plus. It needed to be Zach Wheeler or Gerrit Cole plus those guys in order to really be a wildly successful offseason. And unfortunately, I think this makes it really difficult to have a wildly successful one. You can still have a solid one, though.
White Sox talk has brought out Bill in Capitol Hill. He's on the score.
Hello. Hello, lads. How's the empire?
It is teetering.
That's fine.
It's rather impeachy here on the deck of the East Coast, but... I'm sorry that you called me out of the gloaming, but yeah, I mean, the thing about the White Sox is, I mean, in some ways it's almost like a Victorian tragedy, right? I mean, you have the same, and Kenny Williams is your perfect sort of distillation of, the same, that same insecurities. I mean, and if you want to be positive about that same competitiveness that drives him and brought him to bring the White Sox their first title. Like it didn't, the title didn't bring him release from his demons, and like the fans are in this weird Oedipal struggle, right, for generations.
Yep.
So that like the faces have grown to fit the mask, right? That it's that like nobody appreciates us, the world's against us, et cetera, et cetera. And it's staggering to me. That like you can even see the fans have become so debased by their second team, second city status that they don't even seem to have and the fans and the team itself, they don't even seem to have the grammar of being able to think big anymore, right? That like your line is that they'd rather, you know, curse the darkness than light a candle. But I think it's even in some ways more Freudian than that. I mean, they seem to have like this death drive that like,
or maybe instead of cursing the darkness, they just embrace it.
They live there now.
Right. They just how it is.
I was born to it.
Right. Well, no. And and that's where Kenny Williams turns, he toggles between being like the mad woman in the attic. And then, at other times he's like the Poe figure sort of brooding over many quaint and forgotten lore. Right. Like, and they can't get released. So the thing is, like, the problem is that, as long as they see themselves shackled to each other in this weird, Oedipal struggle, it seems to me that they're getting in the way of their own mission here. It's very simple to me with the White Sox. It's not just the White Sox have the money. They have to spend it, yeah. Right? It's not just a matter of winning in your own division. You've got four, possibly five teams in the American League and a couple in the National League that look like they're going to be beasts for the foreseeable future. You've got to not only improve the talent on your own team, but you got to keep the talent out of those guys' hands. And yet they just can't get out of their own way because of this weird chippiness that, at moments it's great that they have it, but at other times it's incredibly boring and depressing. Anyway, lads, enjoy the impeachment. You're welcome.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
You know, the Red Sox are getting closer and closer, I think, day after day after day to trading Mookie Betts.
It's unbelievable.
Well, the reason I bring it up is because a trade is something you can more directly control. If you want to go get talent, you can do it. Mookie doesn't have a chance to say, nah, I'm not going. I mean, I guess he does, but that would be horrible and tragic and awful if he just says, no, I'm not reporting. But you have the ability to go out and make moves if you want to. That's not the offseason that a lot of White Sox fans had planned for. That's not, I don't think, the offseason that the White Sox front office had planned for. But you have a plethora. I would say you have a plethora of prospects.
Heffy.
Yes.
I would hope that you would not use the word plethora if you didn't know what the word plethora
Oh, I know.
Seen that movie?
I'm just a simple man. No, I do. They've got a plethora of prospects.
But we know.
And each one of them is suspect until you do it in the major leagues. That is one thing Kenny Williams has never been wrong about.
And Rick Hahn has been really good at being on the other side of those deals. He's been really good at trading four prospects. When's the last time he made a major move for an established all-star player by being the guy who gave up the prospects?
I'm sure there is one.
Right, but he's done
the
really...
mind blanks
Jim
now.
Shields.
Toy.
Tatis for Shields. He called himself a word we can't say on the air for
right?
that.
Did he?
Yeah, at Sox Fest.
What did he call? Call himself an a-hole?
Yeah.
I'm the a-hole that traded Fernando Tatis for...
He owned it.
Really?
He sure damn well did.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess that's the answer, right? That doesn't really give me the stomach for this one, then.
You asked for a trade that got won that way.
I did, I guess.
Counselor, I don't have that information for you. I'd ask for a recess.
This segment is brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Experts are predicting a brutal cold and flu season. The number one flu symptom is fever. So use a thermometer proven accurate by more than 80 clinical studies. We can't always predict the flu season, but we can always prepare for it with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. A former bear said something really stupid.
Yeah.
And is in trouble for it and should be. I'm just trying to figure out. There's two aspects to this that I want to get into: the saying it and the thinking it, because both are inexplicable to me. But this former bear had a rough one and maybe deserves even more punishment than he's getting.
Dumb football speak. Up next, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight,
You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves games are the perfect place to gather your group for the holidays. Whether it's for a company outing, a family celebration, or any other occasion to set up your group, visit ChicagoWolves.com. There is a place to be today.
Yeah, there is. You should get yourself out to go see McNeil and Park. It's a tavern in the green in Evergreen Park today, 2 to 6. That's when their show's on, so it's very convenient that they'll be there then. It's the Miller Lite What's on Tap broadcast. Find out what's on tap for the Bears game. Enjoy Miller Lite specials and take home some Score swag. We're going to have that for you. Danny Parkins is actually going to be wearing all Score swag, I'm told, just completely. Mm-hmm. And then there's a raffle at some point, and you can win the stuff that he's wearing. It's a radio bit, but Danny loves those. We'll see how it works out for him. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true. Also, at Tavern in the Park at Evergreen Park tonight, it's the Sportsbook at Ameristar pregame show. Hub is out. Nick Shepkowski is in. Patrick Manley, Olin Krutz, obviously, they're going to be there 6 until kickoff, followed by a 2-hour postgame with Pat Manley and James Big Cat Williams. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite. Hold true.
The broadcaster for the San Francisco 49ers, their radio analyst, is Tim Ryan. He's the former Bears defensive tackle, was a draft pick out of USC in the some point in the 90s, I believe.
I think he played for the Bears 91 to 93. So.
Sounds right. Yeah. And he's done some national games as well. He's been a broadcaster for a long time. And he had some thoughts about Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson and why his play action is so successful. So we'll just let you take a listen here.
It was so – he's really good at that fake, yeah. Lamar Jackson. But when you consider when he's – his dark skin color with a dark football, with a dark uniform, you could not see that thing. I mean, you literally could not see when he was in and out of the mesh point.
Okay, that was on KNBR's Murph and Mike morning show.
Idiot.
Hold on a second here.
Uh-huh.
Dark skin, dark football, dark uniform that gives him some sort of advantage in play action.
Huh.
Yeah. There's so much. First, even if you let's start with the thinking that. That's just a dumb thing to think.
Yeah, that's just a don't. Just a do not.
Even if you do think that.
If it occurs to you.
And erroneously so. If it's just something you're pulling out of thin air, think, oh, well, wait a second. This sounds like it should make sense. The decision to say it? Probably not.
Like, every now and again, it occurs to me that I could probably eat 3 Jack's frozen pizzas in the course of a show. I would never say it. Oh, God, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
So but sometimes things occur to you, and then you go, I don't need to say that out loud. That's just a strange thought that's floated through my brain.
And proving the converse is really sort of beside the point here. But who do you think, in the last 20 years, would be, if you had to show somebody film of how to use play action to freeze linebackers and safeties and buy time. Who is the best at that sleight of hand?
Tyler Palko.
I know you're excited to see him.
I'm thrilled.
There are a lot of people who would tell you it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course it would.
Peyton Manning is not only is he a whiteness tar, his uniform was white. So if you're saying that it's important to lack the contrast with the actual color of the football, you can't show me a whiter combination of Colts uniforms and Peyton Manning. You just can't.
Well, and then it doesn't help Peyton that it all just shines right up onto his forehead. So it's like a projector screen right. For defenders.
Yep. So That's just a thought you don't even want to workshop that
one. I'm glad that Tim Ryan didn't go to some sort of defense of the statement. You know, I'm glad he didn't try and show you film and be like, really? Well, you know, see, here's what happens. And then I'm glad he just said, yeah, that was dumb.
Or railing against cancel culture.
I'm an idiot. I'm going to move on.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's got a one game rip and he's going to take the suspension and he will not be on the broadcast this week. And he's going to move on from there and realize that he said something really stupid and wrong. It's both dumb to say and not true.
You know, presumably guys like that think out their radio hits before they do them, you know? Like, we're going to have Anthony Herron in at 11 o'clock. Do you think he's not, you know, planned out some of the things he's going to talk with us about? You know, we'll get him here once we start talking defensive line play. I'm going to talk about rips and clubs and all this, you know, using leverage stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, Tim's thinking, oh, I got one for these guys. Here we go. I got the reason right here. It's really stupid.
You would think the Bears would think, hey, maybe we've got to get Mitchell Trubisky to a tanning salon. We need to cover Mitchell in bronzer, and then people will buy these fakes to a back who's standing next to him. No, maybe it's the fact that the back is standing next to him and not actually moving toward the line of scrimmage.
I just want so badly for that Bears offense to use play action more often. I just the level of success that kid has had relative to the rest of his season – with some play action mixed in, some conventional out of the under center play action work, it seems to be a lot more comfortable for him than we'd all imagined. You know, I mean, remember, this was a conversation about, you know, especially in his first year with Matt Nagy's offense. Wow, you know, you get him to turn the back to the defense, and then he's got to reacquire where his targets are. He's got to think about who was where and what and all that kind of stuff. Well, when that stuff's tough to keep track of, when you're even out of the shotgun, maybe turning around, hitting a play-action fake, and then turning back around to the defense with the field cut in half and only having to read two receivers, one of them tight end who is not Adam Shaheen, maybe that's also helpful.
I worry about the turning, and they do too, worry about him speeding up his clock because he's turned his back to the defense. Because sometimes, even if he has his eyes there the whole time, he sees things that aren't there.
Yeah, but you cut the field in half, and then you've kind of, you know, if we're looking at all this as a speed up by X amount, and then you're cutting the field in half, it brings it back down at least a little bit. I'm not saying it does it equally, but it brings it back to a certain level of, I don't know, capability, I guess.
There's some really good points here that are coming in via text. This is, do you think Tim Ryan is aware that the Ravens have both home and away uniforms?
Given his statement, no.
Probably not. And the 219 says, here's something to think about. Maybe Peyton Manning's profound whiteness in both skin and uniform blinded defenders. Blinded by the white.
It's possible. Absolutely. We'd have to ask some of the Bears Super Bowl crew, right?
And also
the guys that were there.
And he's not talking about play action as much as he is option.
Sure.
As much as when he says mesh point.
Does it matter?
No. No, it okay. Doesn't.
Just wanted to check on that. Oh, he's talking about mesh point.
Well, that makes a difference.
That changes everything.
But I guess you're right. I guess things are at the point where we have to now thank him for not in the aftermath of this, of not insisting he's correct,
yes.
Digging in, doubling down, crying fake news and cancel culture.
At some point, I have always respected a good, solid double down. You know, somebody who really steps in and is just to hell with it. You know, I'm gonna double down. I'm gonna
like
go after
somebody
this.
Mispronounces raccoon
or whatever.
Yeah,
you double down and you go for it. You make it a bit. This is not something to double down on. Mm-mm. This is not something to make a bit. It's phenomenally dumb, and you just have to apologize for it and move on. I will never apologize for raccoon, by the way.
Well, that's like the backlash to the Peloton commercial that looks like Black Mirror Get Out or whatever it is. And the backlash to the backlash is now you've got people saying, well, I gave my wife one, and she wasn't unhappy about it. I bet she was.
She might have been.
She's probably too frightened to tell you.
You do it that way. You know, there's a right. Nice way to say that, Karen. That's kind of what it comes down to. There's a nice way to buy someone a Peloton, and it is not shaming them with, hey, everything about you is terrible, so hop on this fantastically expensive but wonderful bicycle and pedal it out the next year and a half.
Merry Christmas. I'll drop a couple of tons, you fat bastard, right? I mean, that's seriously.
I got you this bike. Either use that or I have a podcast you should listen to.
And what's amazing is that,
while you're on the bike.
And did you know, no one has yet to determine the identity of the actor who plays the woman?
Is that right? The entire internet sleuthing together hasn't been able to identify where she, you know, she's a groundling or a second cityer?
Probably is. Everybody's
of course it is.
Yeah, the world is looking to find out who this is and offer her some sort of help, apparently, because they don't realize she's just an actor. But it's one thing that has been kept secret, I guess.
It would be so funny if she acted it out that way, knowing that it was going to turn into this, like Get Out sort of thing.
Yeah, but she's getting internet famous, and people are also recognized, like, wait a second, like, how, what kind of man would look at that woman and say, yeah, you know, just tight, you gotta tighten it up a
you
little
know what
bit,
you
sweetheart.
Need
you know, you could really stand to you know, just kind of
three or
it.
4 hours on the bike every morning before dawn.
I'm not
That's...
sure if you guys know this, but you know, people in shape still work out. It's how they maintain it.
This is the hill you're going to die on.
Wait, so you have to get skinny and then keep working out?
People in shape still work out. I'm not going to start on the outrage over a Peloton commercial. This outrage is ridiculous.
Yeah, he can't say what he said in here.
I think it's hilarious. I think the point being,
I think it's a great bit. I don't give a damn one way or the other. I just think it's funny.
You know, and it actually. When it first started, because my wife does SoulCycle every day, whatever that business model is, they figured something out.
Dan, I believe that business model is brainwashing.
Yeah, no, she loves.
You get into it, man.
And I literally said,
people love it.
They love it, and it's almost a cult. There's something going on there, and I almost said to her, I said, you know, you're kind of really into this. She's like, yeah, I went to SoulCycle twice today. Wait.
Well, Dan, three more sessions and I ascend to elite ultra status, uh-huh. And the transcendence isn't far from there.
And I only have six body thetans that need to be removed from the Xenu volcano out on the ship in the middle of the ocean.
The electricity doesn't hurt so much if you're just paddling right through it.
And I said, you know what? I said, as long as we're doing this, I said, if you want to sit down and put pencil to paper and see what a – and she's like, no, I don't want a Peloton bike because it's not in a room with other people. The whole – and so she made me try a class. My daughter likes it too. So I did it, and I will not be doing it again.
When was the next day walked?
No, it's great exercise. I had to throw away my shirt because it was. But I don't like
to throw away a free shirt. That's very difficult for you to do.
I don't.
I mean, it was a plastic shirt.
So. Oh, good.
People that much.
And, do you have to interact with people that much?
And my sense of rhythm
in a cycle class.
No, it's just that they're there, and it's very dancey. And when I'm having to do dance moves to Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, well, all I want to do is be
How else do you spend your Thursdays?
I just want to be on a recumbent bike with a couple of crossword puzzles. Breaking a sweat, you know, working through some puzzles, just doing that. Instead, there are people.
Boy, and I thought the Peyton Manning thing was going to be the oldest, whitest thing you said this segment.
Why?
Jesus.
What's white about crossword puzzles?
Where you put the letters?
you doing them on a recumbent bike.
I know. I can't exercise if I'm not. Like now it's a paired stimulus. I can't really.
That's like the equivalent of flashy thinging yourself from Men in Black. You're just convinced yourself that this is something that you need.
I've neuralized myself.
Yes.
No, I have.
You brainwashed yourself. At some point, you know, hell with it. Double down. Double down. I'm proud of you for it.
We have the Midday Midway coming up, although I think it just started ahead of time.
And yep. About,
Shane or somebody said something awesome because Campy is just dying.
Can I add one headline here before just to add to it?
Oh, please.
From The Onion, so you know it's credible. Parents sign up Mitch Trubisky for rec soccer team in hopes he'll develop interest in sports.
Touch them all, Onion. You've done it again.
Oh, man. And that's the same place that the day they acquired him, didn't he say, it's like Bears trade up for player who will get everyone fired?
Yes.
Wasn't that their headline?
It was.
The quote from the article is, we've had a hard time over the last few years trying to get Mitch excited about athletics, but sometimes kids need a little push on these things.
That's... That hurts.
Oh, that's really good.
Great satire should hurt.
The Midday Midway is on its way. I have a story of a very useful animal putting his skills to work in a place you wouldn't expect.
All right. I have the encroaching robots, and we are in the crosshairs of the robot takeover.
Midday Midway in a couple. Anthony Heron at 11. You got the score.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the score.
The Midday Midway is brought to you by New Mail Medical Center. Discover the new you at newmailmedical.com. We began by talking Bears. We revisited some of the stuff that Robert Mays told us about how significantly and severely the Bears have trimmed back their playbook because of Mitchell Trubisky, information he got from another NFL general manager he shared with us yesterday. We talked about the hour of reminiscing between 5 and 6, which Chris Tannehill put together. With
some good stuff.
And by the way, the Wonstead cut of him, the outtakes of him recording the commercial. .com. There's another dot after .com. And like, Dave, that's a period at the end of the sentence. So do I say the other dot? .com. It was just, it was too
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it's a period. I get it. Do I say it?
I was laughing so hard my stomach hurt. People elsewhere in the Jewel parking lot might have thought something odd was going on
that's
in my
hilarious.
Car. Because it was really, really good. Matt Miller had to cancel because his kid got sick, had to pick him up at school. So instead, we talked about the White Sox pursuit of Zach Wheeler, their failure to get him, even though they offered more money, and then their immediate desire to tell everybody, feeling compelled to tell everyone that they had offered more money and still didn't get him.
Yeah, but that's the thing everybody asked them to do, is offer as much money as possible. Don't get outbid. And don't, you know what? Here's the other thing. Don't come up a dollar short on Gerrit Cole. Don't come up a dollar short on Steven Strasburg either.
And we tried to figure out what Tim Ryan was saying about Lamar Jackson, and I don't know why he thought that, and certainly I don't know why he said it.
So you're familiar with the Players Tribune, right?
Yeah, sure.
It's Derek Jeter's website, I think. He's part of the group that owns it. It's athletes telling stories in their own voices, often with ghostwriters taking part in you know, everything from just punctuation to really kind of structuring stories and whatnot, which is, I don't know, something that irks me just a little bit about the Players Tribune, but at least they kind of set it up front so you know that's what it is when you get into it. But this story just posted during the commercial break, and I read through, I don't know, the first couple of paragraphs. And it is Bobby Jenks telling his story. And it's a lot of stuff in here that he's never talked about before. I find Bobby Jenks to be an incredibly interesting person. His story is harrowing at times. His rise to prominence with the White Sox is in and of itself. If you just took his 2005 and put it into story form, it would be remarkable. Here's how the story on Players Tribune, written by Bobby Jenks, starts. This is the first four sentences. It's a story he's never told. When I woke up that morning in Fort Myers, Florida, I was sitting all alone in my underwear. No shoes, no shirt, no pants, just underwear. Also, I was somehow behind the wheel of a parked car that didn't belong to me. There was broken glass everywhere.
Well, that's quite a start.
It is. I'm halfway through it. Like I said, it came out, like, I don't know, I saw it like 5, 6, 7 minutes ago, something like that, right when the break started. And it is unbelievable. And I still have, I don't know, 2/3 left of the thing to go. I highly recommend reading it. I will retweet the link. It's on the Players Tribune. And wow, it's something.
I am looking at a heat map here, and this is a heat map of what they refer to as robot intensity. This is a study by the Century Foundation that listed the cities most affected by robots. It's robots taking over and automation. And it says you drive to a McDonald's, and instead of seeing five cashiers, you see one cashier, and you see 20 tablet inputs.
Ah.
Southern California ranks first, number one in the risk of robots taking over.
Okay. In the risk or the actuality of robots having taken over?
I guess it just says robot intensity by metro area.
Okay.
So they're measuring what they are calling robot intensity.
Okay.
And right now, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Santa Ana, national rank number one. Because they have 6.91 robots per 1,000 workers.
That's a lot of robots.
What do you think is second?
I'm going to go... I wonder if it counts machinery and stuff. Like, I'm going to go to New York. I'll say New York.
Chicago.
Oh, all right.
Chicago
cool.
is the number two. They actually refer to it as Chicago, Naperville, Joliet, national rank number two. 6.015 robots per 1,000 workers.
You know, I don't know that I encounter that many robots in my day-to-day. Do you? Do you run into robots that often?
When I check out at Mariano's.
Does that count?
I believe it does.
A self-checkout counts as a robot?
Yeah, that's a non-cashier that's talking
to you. It's a non-cashier, but that's just a computer. A robot implies machine that actually does a mechanical function.
Did you place bags in bagging area?
Oh, God. Yes. No, I didn't place any of the bags in the bagging area. I brought my own bag. Stop asking me. I'm going to carry this home. I bought one thing.
Remove
I'm
going to
stuff
item.
It in my coat and walk it home. I don't need your bag.
I did place bags in bagging area. I carry the bags with me. So, but yeah, I believe that those count as robots. So they're coming.
Well, I embrace our future robot overlords. An aquarium in Tennessee has found a way to use its electric eel to power Christmas lights and spark awe in holiday visitors.
The electric eel at the shed, there's a light that shows.
No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, the one in the Amazon exhibit.
I didn't know that.
It's not a Christmas tree.
I mean, I've seen the eel in the Amazon exhibit. I didn't know there was a light.
I don't know if it's there all the time, but I have seen that before. I know I have seen electric eels connected to a little light to show you that low pulse that they emit while hunting.
Well, so they're not connected per se. This eel, Miguel Watson, funny, releases low voltage bolts of electricity whenever he's looking for food. They got a special machine hooked up to the
same
tank.
Same as the I'm Fat podcast, by the way.
looking for food. It's got a special thing hooked up to the tank that senses and pulls the electricity from the water. Bigger flashes cause higher light. There's a video out, and it's pretty cool. He also, this is maybe even the cooler part, Watson has his own Twitter account.
Oh, cool.
So the University of Tennessee has created an algorithm that through its electric pulses just kind of randomly creates tweets based on, you know, like the auto suggest boxes that you'll get for your texts.
Yeah.
Like you'll hit okay, and then the next possible word will be and, I want, you know, all those things will come up. So they use that same software with another algorithm that they created at the University of Tennessee to make the eel tweet based on the electric pulses that are going out while he's hunting for food.
Oh.
The eel powers Christmas lights and tweets. It is nearly 2020.
Probably makes as much sense as the president. and has better spelling.
The eel has been tweeting no collusion.
Right. Witch hunt. That is the Midday Midway. We do it most days around 10:40 or so. We will not be doing it tomorrow because tomorrow is going to be a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday.
On a Friday.
That's right. With our regulars, with Manley and Campbell. And we're going to do a regular Built Ford Tough Bears Monday because it's going to be immediately after a Bears game. We got Anthony Herron coming up. He's going to be in studio previewing a relatively relevant Bears game tonight.
Way to sell it.
Thank you. I'm doing my best. You have the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.